1940, a federal association of the Protestant Church, they decided to have a World Communion Sunday at least once a year. And back then, they were so focused on their specification of being Christian in their particular church. Lutheran Church, Baptist Church, and a Presbyterian Church, and Methodist Church, and Free Methodist Church. And there were so many different sects of the Protestant Church. So they decided to get together, and we needed to be one together, at least through the communion, the sacrament, the communion, the Lord's table we are presenting today. 1940, they realized that they are so divisive because they are so focused on differences, uniqueness that they would like to promote in their Christian journey. Today, at least, we are coming together, whole world, Protestant church, coming together to celebrate Lord's table together. Different language, different way of celebrating Lord's table. In Asia, they might use a different bread, different juice, or different wine, different types of the fermented drink they might use it. But is it the meaning of the communion is the same. One body under the headship of Jesus Christ. We are coming together as to the Lord's table together as a body of Christ, under the headship of Jesus Christ. We Methodist Church, we celebrate the Lord's table once a month, first Sunday of the month, to bring ourselves together, to remember what Christianity is all about while we are coming together. Specifically today, I would like to emphasize the different culture, different language, but one body in Christ. If you are being moved from other countries to here, you definitely experience a multiculturalism. Let me share my experience. 1987, July 25th, 12 o'clock, I landed in LA. For the first time, I saw people different color. For the first time, I saw people speaking different languages. For the first time, I become a minor, you know, who had no clue what's going on around me. And then it was scared. It scared me so much when I landed in LA. When I was in Korea back then, I was a teenager, and I was so aggressive, involving in all different things in church, at school, and I was very active. And yet, when I moved to United States on that particular day by following my mom, and that really put me into the place where nobody wanted to go. I was very discouraged that I had no one. I couldn't communicate anyone with my own language. I thought the Korean language was the international language I can communicate to everyone. When I was in Korea, and everybody, I thought everybody had black eyes, black hairs, and a shorty like me. Yeah. But it was so different. And the first reaction, my reaction to the multiculturalism or the differences around me was, oh my God, something is not right. You are wrong. I'm right. But these things didn't work. Because I was so minor and I didn't have a language to communicate to anyone. When I started my high school in the 10th grade, and they put me into the ESL class, English as a second language classes, and I had no clue what they were talking about, and in that English classes was tough, and yet when I read and write, I can read and write, but speaking and hearing was so different. And in Korea, there is no difference between R and L. There is no PH sound or F sound. And in a P sound, there is no differences with those sounds. And I had a hard time hearing and understanding what people were saying. But in writing and reading, it was different because it printed the language I learned how to do, how to communicate with the people in writing. And in Korea, I learned English, definitely, but the pronunciation was so different. And so even if I say it in Korean, read it English language in Korean pronunciation, nobody could understand back then. And even my name, Sun-uk, and nobody could pronounce correctly for me to respond to the calling of my name, Sun-uk. And I said, they say, son, ook, ook, and that kind of ook sound, it is garter sounds, but it's American does not have that sound like the Korean, so I could not respond to it. So my English high school teacher, English teacher in high school, she decided to give me the name Sunny because that is the easiest name and it represented my personality, she said. And also, she was a Christian. She adopts me as her kind of figurative speech, I'm making, adopted daughter at school. She guided me one by one, and she saw the things what other people could not see. She realized that I can write, I can read, but simply hearing and speaking was hard because of different way my vocal cord was created. And hearing is different because American culture has a different sound. The sounds, I never had it in Korea. So she was realizing that something I have that can contribute to the United States and school system, especially the school I was at. And she realized that I was not dumb. And she realized that I'm smart cookie. Even though I couldn't speak, I cannot hear correctly. So through her, I kind of connected to the school system, and then she adapted me American culture too, to the culture she lived in. And occasionally, whenever Thanksgiving happened, she invited me over to her Thanksgiving celebration. And because in Korea, there is no turkey celebration at all. And whenever they have, last week was the Korean Thanksgiving Day, we celebrate with a rice cake, not the turkey. So that was the different culture I learned. But through the one particular Christian woman, my worldview about the American culture and the lifestyle in America was totally different, got changed. It did not scare me anymore because of the one particular Christian woman God sent to my school work. And probably you might be the one who can enlighten up the fears in the hearts of the people around you. When I moved to Southern California to Chicago here, I was scared, to be honest. Even though I am professionally certified and equipped to be a minister to everyone, it was scared. It scared me so much because I didn't know the culture of this community. And I felt like, God, you are sending me to the wilderness of this country. I had no one. And I'm going to eat in the locust, probably like a John, and in the book of Gospel John. And I had no clue about it. It scared me. But several people in the congregation right away stepped up to lighten up the fear I had. Here, World Communion Sunday, the reason why I'm bringing up this cultural experience I had was differences are not wrong. There is no right and wrong answer. There are simply different way of worshiping God, different way of interpreting God. As long as we are coming together under the headship of Christ, our Lord, we will be okay. And we do not need to be fear of the differences, different way of doing worship. Probably today you might wonder why Sunny was roping up for the service. Some people said that this is the first time they seeing me in a robe. And first, I wanted to have a 9 o'clock service to be more traditional. Some people lost the context of the traditional way of doing worship. So I would like to present it in the traditional way of doing worship at the 9 o'clock hours. Second, it's getting cold. This robe helped me to warm up so much. And in a different way of worshiping, different way of reasoning, what we are doing, no matter what, we are worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. And then here, passage said that there was hungry people in the Christian gathering. This Passover, the communion table, Last Supper was originally the Passover table. When the Israel people were in Egypt, become in slavery for 400 years, they didn't know how to think of the free men. They didn't know how to pursue the freedom in their lives. But God sent the leaders, whose name is Moses, to these Israelites, to set them free from their slavery under the governmentship of the Egypt. And they, Moses, were utilized by God to create this Passover. Egyptians, the owner of the slavery, they do not want to let go of them. There was many different way of the let go of them to soften in the heart of the leadership of the Egyptians to let go and free the Israelites from the slavery. But the last one God used through Moses is put the blood of the lamb at the doorpost. And for 7 days, they were fasting, not eating the leavened bread, but they having a bitter vegetable and tried to downsize themselves, cleaning themselves. And in this passage, today's reading, it shows that verse 28, it said, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Before we eat, back then during the Passover, before they take the bread and juice or wine back then, they are cleansing themselves as a chosen people of God. And then they are downsizing, and confessing their sin and offering their self as a sacrifice, sacrifice and offerings to God by cleansing their body, by fasting, and then downsizing their outdoor activities, and by bringing the whole family together. And then the last day of the Passover meal, and they put the blood of the lamb at the doorpost. And that is a sign that they are the chosen people. The first sons or first male in the house will not be killed by the death of the spirit in town in that time. To show the Egyptian that those people are the chosen people. The death, spirit of death will not overpower this chosen people. That is a sign of the chosen people. By cleansing, having posed the lamb, the lamb of God at the doorpost. This communion is a sign of our being to be the chosen people. We casually sometimes take the communion very casually and not seriously. But today, I would like to encourage you and me to take this seriously. By my upbringing, I'm a Presbyterian. Ooh. Some people said, ooh. Even my seminary and training, Methodist, I went to the Presbyterian seminary. I met Susanna Wesley when I was in seminary. And then through the reading, I met Susanna Wesley. And she was so inspirational for me. And also, I saw myself in her shoes so identically. So I decided to be a Methodist minister instead of a Presbyterian minister. If I use a little bit of a theological word in here, I am predestined to be the Methodist minister through the grace of God. If you know the Methodist theology and Presbyterian theology, what you might understand what I'm saying. Presbyterian church, they are so focused on predestination. God planned it out everything for you. So just obey and follow. That is their kind of one-line summary of their theology. And one line of the summary of Methodist theology is grace. God invite you to the place where you are through the grace of God. Before you acknowledge God, God loves you. When you had aha moments that God loves me, which is called the justification grace, that moment God is kind of intervening into your heart with the openness of your willingness to open your heart. And God is working in your life. And then after that, you are getting into the sanctification process, which means you are working together with the Spirit of God to shape up your life. So in summary of the Methodist theology is, God is grace, God is love. But if I combine my background of bringing theology into the practical theology I am practicing these days as a Methodist minister is, I am predestined to be the Methodist minister through the grace of God. I try to combine the differences into one, saying that we are serving one Lord, one God, under the headship of the Jesus Christ in here. All differences can come in together by cleansing our heart with the submission to Lord Jesus Christ. Today, you might see many different people around you who speaks a different language, who celebrate their special occasion differently. But differences are not wrong. But differences are differences. Simply, that is a different color we do see in the community. Change the color of the tree, changing of the color of the community. Do you see it? Physically, do you see the change of the leaves of the color in town? I do see it. How beautiful that is. I do the demographic study of this community. The changing of the culture, changing of the people who live in this town is happening. As long as you do not have a willingness to see it, you are not going to see it. If you have a willingness to see the change of the color and the beauty in the multiculturalism we live it in, believe it or not, you will see it. You will enjoy it. You will praising God for the community God is bringing together. The world you are living in might be just this chamber, or just your family, or school district 54, maybe. But if you are willing to see the bigger world, you can do it. You can see it because resources is out there for you. So I'm encouraging you to not to be blind, to see the beauty of the culture and the beauty God is creating in our lives around us. Do not miss out. This is so beautiful. When I was so into cold that mode last year, I didn't see the beauty of the color in the community, the changes of the color in the community, the leaves that are so beautiful. Last year, I was so focused on my need. But this day, I just let go of it and just decided to enjoy whatever comes on. Then moment, I start to see the changes of color in the community, the beautiful color, even though it is still cold. I am still adaptable to this, and I am encouraging you to help yourself and help God to let you see the beauty in our lives by becoming one in Christ. Amen.